Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Aleph. We're holding on the bottom of Kuf Amud Beit. And just for a brief review to replace us here, we've been talking about the various dinim of the Drabbanan and the Diraisa in Aninus. And all of this was triggered by the Mishnah that spoke about an Einein being Negea, Beino Echel, which brought us to the contradictions in the Mishnah of the Psachim. And that brought us to understand that there were three different issues that we needed to discuss about Aninus. One of them was the din of an Einein being allowed to be Shaleach a Korban. The other is if he's able to eat a Korban after the daytime of his aninus, and the other is, if he is, would we give him a chelik? Now, it ended up that things are much more complicated than we thought when we read the Mishnah, because it turns out that there would be various levels of aninus. So we had a din of aninus that was from the day of Misa, a din of aninus that was from the day of Kfura, a din of aninus that came from a shmua within 30 days of the death of a relative, and the din of aninus that came from what is known as likut atzamot, which is reinterment, which was very common then when there was no way to get someone to a family keva if they died far away from their place. Those dinim, it turns out, each one of them has to also be determined what the din is of the aninus laila following the event, whether that event was the day of Kfura, or the day of Misa, or the day of Likarat Samais, or the day of Shmur Akroiva. Now, the last thing that we had learned, since we found that there were so many machlokas on each and every one of these dinim, so there were completely different ways of squaring what appeared to be contradictions in the various Mishnayos, in the various Shitas of Rabbi Shimon that were brought in the Braita. And the last thing that we had learned was that it works out that according to Rav Mori, and the way that we were understanding Rebbe in the Machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim, is that there was a halacha of Achare Yom HaKvura, that the din would be according to Rebbe. This is how he explained Rebbe's words. In the last way that Rabbi Yosef had fixed the Braita is that Rebbe said if the person was Nikvar on that day, even if it was 10 days later after the death, then it would be Tofes Lele. And that led us to the following question. And this is, let's start over again, five lines from the bottom on Amud Beis. So when they said over Rabbi Yosef Shkrat to Rava, so he said, well, then obviously, if this is the way we're to understand Rebbe, that the Yom of the Kvura, which remember is the second level, we have Yom HaMisa, Yom HaKvura, Yom HaShmua, and Yom Likud Atzomes, in that order of Chumras, Legabi, the various dinim of the Achila and the night afterwards, and many other issues as well, but this is what we've been focusing on. If this is what Rebbe is supposedly saying, according to you, so then if he says that Yom Kvura is Tofes Leilo Min Rabbanan, he has to be forming that Rabbanan on an equivalent case of a D'oraisa, and the Rabbanan are now going to be extending that D'oraisa. So if I understand that the D'oraisa is that the day of Misa, which is the highest level of Aninos, the day of Misa is Tofes Leilo, it continues into the night, mid-D'oraisa, then it makes sense that when the Rabbanan created a new Aninos, which is the level two from the day of burial, the Yom HaKvura, that they would pattern it on the D'oraisa. If the Torah said the day and the night are both the Aninus, so when the Rabbanan create an Aninus Rabbanan on Yom HaKvura, it would be an Aninus of Yom and Laila, right? So that makes sense. But it only makes sense if you're ready to admit that Rebbe indeed holds that Aninus level one, which is the Yom HaMisa, which is D'oraisa, would extend into the night. Problem is that we do not see that that is Rebbe Shita. Now let's take a look at this insight. If he holds that the kvura is tefis leila min rabbanan, that implies nichla d'yomisa tefis leila midyoraisa. And that is not consistent with Rebbe. Now, in order for us to understand why this is not consistent with Rebbe, the real issue over here, before we talk about it, is to understand exactly what happened during the Shmini Lemiluim. And on that day, all of these issues were actually raised in the Torah itself. And if you think that the Machlokesin began over here in our sugya, unbelievably, this question of Aninus is the one Machlokes that is recorded in the Torah about Halacha Lamaisa between Moshe Rabbeinu and his brother Aaron. That's an amazing thing. I don't know when the so-called Bible learners get to this, they have absolutely no idea what this discussion is about. And that's because the only way to understand this discussion is by understanding all of the variants that we've just discussed here. What I'd like you to do, if you can, is to please open up your Chumashim to Parsha Shmini. After all, we just were learning about Shmini 2 days ago in Chanukah, and we were talking about the Karbanot HaNesiyim, and Yom HaShmini was the first of the Zeh Korban, and as you remember, Nachshon ben Aminadav, the first of the Korbanos of the Nesiyim, right? So let's revisit that day, which is perfect for the time that we've been working on. Turns out we've been talking about this all along. And take a look in Parsha Shmini, in Revi'i, which is in Vayikra Yud, Yud Beit. We'll start from there. So remember, what has just happened was a terrible tragedy. Everything was going great. It was the happiest day in creation. The Yom HaShmini B'Miluim, which was the day in which the kahuna was given over to Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu had finished for the last time putting up the Mishkan. And now, all of a sudden, the death of Nadav Avihu busts up everything and leaves everyone, especially the family, absolutely shaken to the core. And when it comes to the family, which consisted of Aharon and his two remaining sons, who were brothers of the mace, so Aharon, Elazar, and Itamar needed to be told what the din is of Kohanim, who are Onanim. And this was the first case of Aninus, and it was on the first day of the kuhuna, the full kuhuna of Aharon and Elazar and Itamar, which is astounding. So it's somehow fundamental to all of the halachas of the kuhuna. And we already discussed so many of these dinim. So let's take a look at what Moshe Rabbeinu says to the remaining members of Aaron's family, who are now onanim. So in Pasuk Yud-Beis, Vayedaber Moshe el Aharon ve'el Alazar ve'el Yitamar, banav notarim, these were the leftover children of Aaron after the death of Nadav Avihu. We now have a lot to do, even though you are onanim. So kichu et hamincha hanoteret miyishe Adonai, v'yichlu ha-matzot etzo mizbeha, mizbeha kikodesh kodashim hi. So first of all, let's understand that this is a very unique case. In the situation of the miluim, there was a korban mincha that needed to be brought, and we don't have any example elsewhere of a korban mincha that is brought by a tzibur in which we have the Kohanim eating what was left of the mincha. The normal mincha that is brought together with korbanos by a tzibur is burnt completely, and it's brought on the mizbeach. But over here, it was actually eaten by the Kohanim, and so this was the first big kiddush. Moshe told them, you have to eat this mincha, and it's kodesh kodashim. Eat it inside of the Mishkan itself, in the chutz of the Mishkan, v'achaltem ota b'makom kadosh, ki chokcha v'chok manecha hi mi'ishe Adonai. This is indeed a unique case, but it's been given to you, ki chein tzuveti, because this is the special tzivui that I was given. And, whoa, that means that this is meant to be eaten, even though you are Onanim. Now, normally, as we said, an Onan certainly is not allowed to eat the Karbanas. And here we're talking about Onanim, the special mitzvah that we're told they do have to eat the korbanos. And I was told this specifically, Kikensuveti. Note the Lashonis over here, which we're going to have three times, basically the same words. The Echazea Tenufa, the Shokatruma. Now, this was another unique korban, similar, not as unique as this mincha, because here we had a shlomim, but it was a shlomim that was owned and brought by the tzibur, and it had the same dinim of tenufa, chozev, shok, which was given to the kohanim to eat. So the chazea tenufa and the shoka truma, also, you have to eat it, despite the fact that you're on a nim. Tochlu b'makom tahor, ata uvanecha uvnotecha, itach, this is meant to be yours for all times, and this is koveya you and the kuhuna to be the ones that will be eating the chazev shok throughout the generations. This is meant not only for the males, but for the entire family. Because this was nitnu mizivche shalmei b'nei Yisrael forever. Shoka truma and the chazeya truva, which were brought together with the ishea chalavim, they are brought la'anif truva lifnei Adonai, v'haya lecha ulevanecha yitcha l'chok olam kasher tziva Adonai. Now note that this is the second time that Moshe is telling them kasher tziva, right? The first one is kichen tzuveti. The second one is Kasher Tziva. Over here, the first Kichen Tzuveti was when he told them about eating the Mincha. The second one, Kasher Tziva Hashem, is where he's telling them to eat the Shoka Truma and Chazeya Tenufa. And now he gets to the other carbon, and he's absolutely shocked. Ve'et Seir HaChatat Darash Dorosh Darash Moshe. Moshe wanted to know what happened to the Seir of the Chatas. Now, the Seir of Chatas that we're talking about over here was the Chatat of Rosh Chodesh, as we're going to see. And Moshe was Doresh, Vihinei Soraf. For some reason, it had been burned instead of eaten, and he got very angry. Vayikzof al Elazar v'alitamar b'nei Aaron anotarim limor, and he started arguing with the children of Aaron. But the fact is, he was angry at everybody, but he didn't want to fight with his brother. So he talked to the children of his brother and said to them, why the heck didn't you eat the chatas like I told you? Madua lo achaltem et achatat bimkom hakodesh. This chatas is kodesh kodeshim, and it was given to you to eat, because remember, kohanim ochlim, and the balim are mitchaprim. And over here on this day, this is the Seir Shel Rosh Chodesh, which is given to you, and it should have been eaten, because this is the special korban that comes to be mechaper unto Mas Mikdash v'kedoshav, as we learned back when we were learning Masechet Shvuot. I don't understand why it wasn't eaten. It's not as if this was one of the chataot that was brought inside of the oil mayed, because then those chataot apnimiot are indeed burned. And if you had brought the dam of a chatat chitzona into the oil mayed, then as we learned, we've been learning all along, one of the special things about the chatas is that if its dam is brought inside, it becomes pasul, and you're not allowed to bring that chatas anymore. It's one of the special halachas of chatas that we, well, it was machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim, whether it's a special dinner chatas, but it was one of those unique issues that had been brought up in this sugya of unique issues about the chatas, the dam of the chatas that sprinkles on the beged, the din of the shvirav, the klecheres, and the din of Marika Vishtifa on other kelim, and the din of negia kol anogea bivisara yigdash, and this special halacha of the dam of achatas that comes inside. So here Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, I don't understand why it wasn't eaten. It's not a chatas whose dam was brought inside, was it? Achol tochlu ota bakodesh, you were meant to eat this. Kasher tziveti. Now here's the third mention of this tzivoy. You should have eaten it like I told you. Vaydaber Aaron el Moshe. So Aaron answers Moshe and says something that is very unclear what he's talking about. Hein hayom hikrivu et chatatam ve'et olatam lifnei Adonai. What exactly that means? Hein hayom. What's hein supposed to mean? Is hein a reference to my children? If those children were makriv v'chatas and the eila today, and then vatikrena otika eila, and then what happened to me, that I lost my two children, and then I should go back, v'achalti chatat hayom, and then I would eat this chatas? Why hayom? Well, apparently because yizidin of the day is important, because he's still an einain during the day. Hayitav b'nei Hashem? You think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have liked that? That you're telling me I should have done that? This makes no sense to the casual reader. Vayishma Moshe. Moshe hears exactly what it was that Aaron was saying. And he says, you're right. I was wrong. Vayitav b'nei, and he accepts Aaron's argument. Right? An amazing few psukim, which to those who are not familiar with the shitas and the issues that we've been learning, is completely and totally a closed book. So now, getting into this sugya, we're going to try to get to the bottom of what the whole discussion here was between Moshe and Aaron. Getting to the bottom of this sugya requires us to understand what the din is of the einein, who is a kohen. So the first din is that a kohen gadol specifically is not the same as any other onen, because the Kohen Gadol was told right here immediately after the death of his children, you do not have a right to be Yotzei min HaMikdash. That means you have to continue your work in the Mikdash. Min HaMikdash lo Yotzei, you just do what you got to do and keep going even though you're an onen. So he was not usher to do the Aveda as an onen because he was the Kohen Gadol. So now the question is, how exactly do we understand what the discussion was all about? And this is an excuse to get into this that the Gemara uses, is this immediate question. Does Rebbe indeed hold that he's got a model in which Aninos Yom Hamisa extends into the night Midiraisa, and therefore when the Rabbanon made a takona that there should be an Aninos of Kvura, they extended into the night as well? The problem is that Rebbe apparently does not hold that the aninus of the day of death extends into the night, because look at this braita, the Atanya. Aaron says to Moshe, Hein Hayom. Why does he stress Hayom? What he meant was, Ani Hayom Asur V'Laila Mutar. So today, I am not allowed to eat, but I'm only not allowed to eat during the day, but I will be mutter to eat at night. Whereas in later generations, the Dorot, Bein Bayom Ubein Balayla Asur, Divi Rebbe Yehuda. So the Tanakamo, as Rebbe Yehuda says, this is a special situation in which, since it was during the Miluim, and they were the only Kohanim that were available, so because of that, they were given a heter to eat at night. In the future, however, there's no heter to eat at night. That's how Rebbe Yehuda understands the word hayom. Whereas Rebbe says, no, that's not true. There never was a din d'oraisa of aninut laila. Aninut laila einam divrei Torah, Elami divrei sofrim. Your diuk is incorrect. And when he said hayom, he did not mean that today is different from the future. We'll see exactly what he did mean. But in any event, Rebbe clearly says that there was no model midioraita of an aninus that extends into the night. So how could Rebbe Yosef say that the meaning of the braita that we had before is that Rebbe holds that aninus yom hakvura Balaila is midrabanan, if even the aninus yom hamisa Balaila is not midiraisa? So how would the rabbanan have created an aninus that goes beyond the Torah's own aninus, which is the Yom HaMisa, they should have patterned the Yom HaKvura on the Yom HaMisa. That's our question. Again, this is something of a wedge in which we're entering into this very broad question of how is it that we're meant to understand the entire discussion of Moshe and Aaron and what were the dinim indeed in these particular cases. So how do you explain this? Answers the Gemara, this is absolutely clear and absolutely true. You're right. Rebbe does not hold that Aninus Laila, even of the Yom HaMisa, is a D'oraisa. So then if that's the case, how in the world did the Rabbanan say that the Aninus of the Yom HaKvura is a D'Rabbanan Isser B'Laila if they can't actually pattern it on an extant halacha mid'oraisa? Because it's true that it's more chomer. In this particular case, it's one of the rare situations in which the chachamim asu chizuk l'divrehem yoter mishal Torah. This is a case in which the Rabbonin were even more machmer in their gezeira than the Torah was in the original halacha. So therefore, if we have here a din d'oraisa, which is biyom, the Rabbanan said, we'll have a din d'Rabbanan, which is biyom on the Yom HaKvura. And even though we don't have a din d'Oraisa, that biyom extends into the Laila, but we do have a din d'Rabbanan, that our biyom of Yom HaKvura does extend into the D'Oraita. So there are rare occasions where the Rabbanan actually go beyond even the Chumrah of the Torah itself, and they're more machmer than the Torah was in the original Halach. Fine. Now, once we've entered into this world of the discussion between Moshe and Aaron about what the din is of an Einin after the death of Nadav Avihu, let's take a look at all of the broad issues and see what can be understood about the various din. The Tanur Rabbanan. We find that it says three times, as we just looked at in the pasuk, Kichen Tzuveti, Kasher Tzuveti, Kasher Tziva Hashem. What are these different ki tzivuis? So, kichen tzuveti. So the first one is clearly saying that I told you right now something that I'm sure you're shocked at. I told you you should be eating this mincha b'makom kodesh, even though you're onanim. And I want it very clear for you to understand. I know that this is very not part of normative halacha. But in this particular case, I was specifically commanded to tell you this by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, eat it despite the fact that you are Einanim. So that's the first one. Ba'aninut yochlua. I was told you have to eat it. Ba'aninut. Later on, this is the third occasion, where he says, Kasher tziveti etchem, that he said, Bishat ma'aseh amar lahem. So after coming and finding that the chatas was not burned, so he said to them, that the truth is there are a number of different ways of reading this. Rashi does not read it consistently here and in Yuma, but basically the kasher tziveti, when the Gemara says, Bishat ma'aseh amar lahem, so the pashtus is that he said it again, he repeated it when it came time to deal with the other karbanas, besides the mincha, which was a general halacha. So then he also told them, kasher tziveti, when it came time to actually do the avodah. But when he came and found the chatas, because this is where the kichen tziveti appears, he found the chatas of Rosh Chodesh burned. So he said to them, didn't I tell you that you're supposed to eat it, ba'aninus, and instead I see that you burned it, apparently thinking that you're not supposed to eat it? So that he said to them, when he discovered that they didn't listen to him. So he said, why didn't you listen to me? And then kasher tziva Hashem, that is to make it very clear to them that, look, I'm not telling you something that I was mitzvah you from my svara. I was told specifically by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell you to eat this specific thing. And therefore, there was no question. There's nothing to argue about. This was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you're supposed to do with the carbon shlamim. And even though you think that this is just a normal carbon shlamim and it's as if it's a normal day, it's not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to tell you this needs to be eaten. Now, so according to this, what are we saying? That the whole issue revolved around aninut. Moshe was saying, you should have eaten it baninut. And when he saw that it was burned, he said, why didn't you listen to me? I told you to eat it baninut, and apparently you didn't. Problem is that it's not so pashut that that's what the discussion was about. Because Vramini, let's take a look at this braita. What happened to that chatas of Rosh Chodesh? So, one man, the Omar, says, and we're going to see later on that this is a machlokas, mipnei aninut nisrafa. Actually, all available kohanim were aninim, and therefore it wasn't able to be eaten, because you cannot eat it ba'aninut. And that explains why it is that when Aaron told Moshe, I don't understand what you're telling me. Are you telling me that if such a thing happened to me, what such a thing? The death of my children happened to me, I was supposed to eat it? Was Hashem going to be happy about that? Hayitav b'nei Hashem, of course he wouldn't be happy about that. So then that means they were arguing about the question of aninut. And he was, Moshe Rabbeinu, in the end, accepted the fact that he was wrong. But I don't understand. If Moshe accepted the fact that he was wrong, then why did he say to them, this is what God told me to do? That makes no sense. You say that the whole meaning of the Kasher Tziveti and the Kasher Tziv Hashem is Ba'anino Tochluhu. But according to this Braita, Aaron told Moshe, you certainly did not expect me to eat this carbon after what happened to me today in the death of my children, and that that means that he was not supposed to eat it baninut. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, you're right, I'm very sorry. I mean, that makes no sense. Obviously, we need to understand the Kasher Tziv Hashem as not mentioning aninut. And this is like a new issue that is being brought up by Aaron. Gosh, Moshe, you forgot that I'm an Einan and that I'm not allowed to eat? I mean, if the whole discussion was about the aninus, so how in the world did Moshe say, oh, yeah, I forgot? I mean, it makes no sense. Omar Shmuel, you're right. It makes no sense because you are confusing two braitot, one of which was going according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll see later on, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both agree with the Shita. And this braita, which is saying that, in fact, you're not allowed to eat as the onanim, that's going a little bit to Rabbi Nechemia. And Rabbi Nechemia actually holds that there never was a heter for them to eat it ba'aninut. Now, gentlemen, this is on the surface. It's a blanket question. This is the way Shmuel understands it. We're going to see that it's much more nuanced than this. But we're going to get to the point in which we understand the nuances of the discussion only as we go along. So according to Shmuel, Rabbi Nechemia simply does not agree that there was any type of heter for aninus at all. And where do I see that? The Tanya. I see it in the Braita. Why does it say ka'ele? Because it was mipnei aninus sarafua. Why did they burn the chatas of Rosh Chodesh? Well, Aaron said beferish, because such terrible things happened to me. My children died. How am I supposed to eat it? So what's the explanation of that lahalacha? Since my children died, I have a din of an einein and I'm not allowed to eat it. That's why it says, Vatikranoti ka'ela, divi Reb Nechemia. Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon say, no, that is not what happened. It was not burned because it couldn't be eaten because of aninus. It was burned because it became tame. And therefore, since it was tame, it was usher to eat it. That's the point. Now, how does that fit into the pasuk? That the Gemara will discuss in a moment. But first of all, let's understand what the issue is. The issue is not what you're saying, Rabbi Nechemia, that it was burnt because of aninus. It was burnt because something happened to it. And we're obviously not going to believe what you said, that it was burned for aninus, because imata omer, mipnei aninut nisrafa, hayul shloshtan sheyisrafua. Now, let's remember, this was a special day in which there was a actual confluence of three completely different things that were happening. Number one, this was the Shmini B'Miluim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given a mitzvah to Aaron and to Klal Yisrael to be bringing Kedusha to the Mishkan and to the Kahuna. And one of the things that they had to do was to bring a Sa'ir for the Miluim. That was a special Sa'ir that was brought on the Shmini Shemiluim. It was also Rosh Chodesh, because as you know, Shmini B'Miluim was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Every Rosh Chodesh, nothing to do with the Miluim, every Rosh Chodesh you need to bring the Sa'ir LaHashem, which is mentioned in the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh. Si'ir Echad LaHashem. It's the only time that we find that Lashon of Si'ir Echad LaHashem, but that was the day. Okay, so that was number two. Number three, this was Zeh Korban Nachshon Ben Aminadav. So he brought, as it did the Nesi'im every single day following this day, this was the first day in which the Nesi'im began to bring their Chanukah Samizbeach. And boy, we're lucky this year to have all of these sugyas mamish together with Chanukah, and we just explored these dinim and the Zeh Korban Nachshon Ben Aminadav we were just talking about just a couple of days ago. So all of this is fresh. But that means there were three completely different Seirim. The Sa'ir of Nachshon, the Sa'ir of Rosh Chodesh, and also the Sa'ir that was the Chiyuv of the Miluim itself, which is at the beginning of the Tzivui, Val B'nei Yisrael Tedaber Limor, Kechu Si'ir Izim V'chatat, Ve'egel V'keves B'nei Shanat B'imim La'ola, and that was the Yom Shmini L'Miluim. Now, if you, Rabbi Nechemiah, claim, say Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Nechemiah, if you claim that there was no heter to eat paninos, then this whole discussion makes no sense. Because then the only thing that we find that Moshe Rabbeinu is upset about is the Sa'ir Rosh Chodesh. But all of the Sa'irim should have been burned. Because if it's true that there was no heter for aninos, so then why are we focusing only on this Sa'ir? So then all three of the Seirim should have been burned. That's my first objection, or our first objection, say Rabbi Yudam, Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Nechemiah. And our second objection is, even if you hold that there was no heter for Aninut, why weren't they kept until that night and eaten at night, because there's no aninus laila midiraisa, and therefore they didn't need a special heter to eat at night. And we'll see that even those who hold that aninus laila is the raisa are made that during the miluim, and this day actually we learn out from hayom that the iser was only hein hayom is only an iser in the day and not an iser at night, but that's because of the miluim. So since it needed to be eaten and there were no kohanim to eat, so to eat during the day, ein achinami, was prohibited. But at least wait until the nighttime and eat it. So that's our second problem. Either burn all of them, and there's no reason to burn any of them, because why burn them if you could actually go ahead and wait until this evening, and then you would be allowed to eat them, because it would be aninus laila. And then I've got another problem over here. Davar Acher, the third problem is, what do you mean there was nobody to eat them? Even if you want to tell me Aninus Laila was Usher, there was another Kohen, and he could have eaten everything. And who was that? Pinchas. Remember, Pinchas was a Kohen, and he was not a brother to the deceased. He was a nephew, right? Because he was the son of Elazar. So his father, yes, his father was a no-name because his father's brother had died. But it was only his uncle who had died. You don't become an onin on the death of an uncle. There's only the seven krovim that the Torah lists, and none of them mention anything about an uncle. So Taina, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon, why in the world should any of these karbonos have been burned, even if you hold that Aninus Laila would be usher, it would be mutter for them to be eaten by Pinchas. So there was no really problem at all.
And therefore, before he became fully Kohen?
Rabbanea, we're learning, we're in the middle of a sugya. So therefore, we don't agree with you because of three completely different points. So therefore, okay, so what are you asking me, says the Gemara? What are you asking me, the contradiction of the Braita, that one Braita says that Mipnei Aninus Sofua, and the other Braita says that actually Moshe Rabbeinu had given them specifically a mitzvah to eat the Aninus. It's not a problem. One is going like Rabbi Nehemiah, and one is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rava says no. Both prices are going perfectly well according to Rabbi Nehemiah. And the fact that Rabbi Nehemiah said that it was burned by Aninos is not the way Shmuel understood it. It's not that Rabbi Nehemiah holds there was no heter of Aninos during the Miluim. Of course it was a heter of Miluim, of the Kikhein Tzuvet. He never argued on that. But there's a tremendous difference between the Sayer of Rosh Chodesh and the other two Seirim. Because the other two Seirim, which were again, what? Seir Nachshon, and the Sayer of Shmini B'Miluim, which is a special mitzvah that Berel B'nai Yisrael, Ki Hayom Hashem Nirah Lechem. Those were mitzvahs that were one-time mitzvahs in history. They are called Kodshei Sha'ah, special for the hour. Like the man of the hour, there's a carbon of the hour. And that there's, of course, is Rabbi Nehemiah. Moshe said, eat them be'aninos. But it happened to also be Rosh Chodesh. And the Sayer of Rosh Chodesh was not brought because of the Miluim. It was not Kodshei Sha'ah. It was a typical Rosh Chodesh. Albeit it was the first Rosh Chodesh that we were bringing this carbon, but it was actually a Rosh Chodesh like any other that was Mechuyev in its Karbanot Musaf, which included the Seir Lashem. The special mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu had given Kichen Tzuveiti only affected the special Karbanos, the two out of the three that were special, the Seir Nachshon and the Seir Shmini. But the Seir Shal Rosh Chodesh is a regular carbon. Why would it be eaten be'aninut? And therefore, kan b'kodshei sha'ah, the braita that we first brought that says mipnei aninut sarfua, the braita that we brought originally and said that Moshe Rabbeinu said ba'aninut, eat it, that's talking about the special kodshei sha'ah. The next braita which says that it was burned because of aninut, yes, but that's because we're talking about the Seir Shal Rosh Chodesh. And the Seir Shal Rosh Chodesh is Bekodshei Dorot, which is as clear as can be. And they were never told that they can eat that, the Aninut. And Aaron says to Moshe, my dear brother, I mean, you're telling me Ba'aninut Yochlu, since when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to you, Kichein Tzuveiti? He never said anything about the Kodshei Rosh Chodesh, did he? Be honest. You're right. It's very true. There's an Isser to eat at Ba'aninut. Fine. Now we're going to see how it fits all into the pasuk. So when he asked, why did you burn it? So according to Rabbi Nehemiah, he was told it was burned because there was no one to eat it, because of aninus. And according to Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Shimon, we don't quite understand. So why was it burned? Since anyway, it could have been eaten at night. So how does Rabbi Nehemiah learn the discussion over here in this psukim? And how does Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, how did they understand the psukim? Let's see how they fit in their shita directly into the conversation between Moshe and Aaron. And this is a remarkable Gemara finally making sense of psukim that you can sit there and bang your head against the wall and say, well, what in the world is going on? So, Hechimitarze Lahanikroi according to Rabbi Nehemiah, and Hechimitarze Lahanikroi according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So here's how Rabbi Nehemiah learns the entire discussion. Rabbi Nehemiah mitaretz lo achim. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Madua lo achaltem. Now, in understanding the full conversation, the Torah didn't go into the details. This is what Moshe said. This is what Aaron answered. In some cases, it said what Aaron answered, out of which we can understand what Moshe must have said. And in other cases, it says what Moshe had said, in which case we now understand what Aaron answered. So we're trying to put it together. Let's work out from the conversation what must have been the issue at each point in the conversation. So Moshe starts off by yelling at them, Madua lo achaltem, What in the world is wrong with you guys? Why did you not eat this carbon? Means that he said to them, because this we see from the answer in the end, Moshe must have said to Aaron, maybe it became possible because you got confused. Maybe you thought that this was a carbon that is meant, because all the other carbonas are meant to be chataot apnimiyot, right? So maybe you treated the Sarer Shel Rosh Chodesh like a chatas pnimit, and you brought in the dam into the Heichal. Is that what happened? Shema Nichlas Dam Aleflai Velefnim, and it became possible. So we see that Aaron must have answered, because we see from the way that Moshe responded, absolutely not. Hein lo huva adama, ma piton. Its dam was definitely not brought in. So then Moshe must have asked Aaron, again, we understand this from the response, so then maybe the dam was yotze. Shema chutz l'michitza tayatzat. Oh, my love. Aaron must have said, no, of course not. It was Bekodesh the whole time. So Moshe said, so then maybe it was brought on the Mizbeach by Einanim, meaning by the children, because he was talking to Elazar and Itamar. So Dilma Ba'aninu Takriftua Psaltua, maybe your children brought it on the Mizbeach, and an Einan who's not a Kohen Gadol who brings a carbon on the Mizbeach, as we saw earlier in the Masechet, is Mechalel Zaveda, right? So maybe it became possible because they brought it, says Aaron. Moshe, v'chi hein hikrivu? That's the understanding of the words. Hein ayom hikrivu? No. Hein hikrivu? Ani hikravti. I am allowed to be makriv, and I was meant to do everything of today, because that's what the pasuk was. You are meant to do everything. If you take a look, it says, v'yom Moshe l'Aaron, krav al mizbeach, you're supposed to do everything. So why in the world would you think that my sons brought this carbon? I was mitzvah to do the carbon, and I did it, and I'm a Kohen Gadol, and I'm allowed to be makir. So now we understand why Moshe responded as follows. Well, if ein lo huva et dama, you are telling me that it was not brought bifnim, and it was bekodesh, it was not yotze, and your children didn't bring it, you brought it. So then I told you you're supposed to eat it. How do I understand what happened over here? Didn't I tell you before? You're supposed to eat baninut, baninut yochlua. Answers Aaron, well, my dear brother, if something happened like today, in which I lost my children, I should go and I should eat this chatas, a regular chatas of Rosh Chodesh. The achalti chatat ayom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that? Are you sure? Hayitav b'nei Hashem? Let me very gently remind you that Shema lo shamata la b'kodshei sha'a. I mean, I wouldn't chas v'shalom have a chutzpah to tell you so differently, but maybe there was no mocker for what you said. And you had extended it, mitzad asfara, wrongly. Maybe, indeed, it was usher. You thought it was the same as the mincha. But it's not. Because this is talking about kodshei deres. Now, maybe you're not aware of the fact that kodshei deres are usher for an einan to eat. And therefore, I have to tell you, Ibe kodshei deres, I'm going to make a kal v'chomer, which your children will be learning about in Masechet Zvachim. And that kal v'chomer is from the pasuk in Maaser. Maaser is nowhere near as chomer, this is Maaser Sheni, is nowhere near as chomer as Hegdash, as Kodesh is, right? And nonetheless, Maaser, which is kal, it says that in the Vidui Maaser, what do we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo achalti va'oni mimenu? If I was an onen, I didn't touch, I didn't eat that maaser. So obviously, if you're talking about kochim throughout the deres, which are more chomer, obviously an onen is not allowed to eat. So lo kol shekein, Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever tell you something that would make that Kal Vachomer non-effective? Miyad. Moshe heard that. Oy, he said, of course. Vayishma Moshe. Vayitav be'inav. And he was Moda. I forgot the din of the Kal Vachomer from Ma'aser Sheni. I forgot that an onen is aser in Kodshei Dereis. And I got it confused. And I told you to eat it, but you were 100% right. Hoda v'lo bosh Moshe lomar lo shamati. He didn't say, I never heard a difference between Kodshei Shah and Kodshei Dereis. He was Meda. I was mekabel this Kal Vachomer, and I forgot. Shamati. So in the end, as Rashi says, since Moshe got angry, this was another example of where the anger of Moshe caused him. Remember, as the Gemara says, in Navihu, so he loses his Navias if he gets angry, and if he's a Chacham, then he forgets Halachas. This is another example of where Moshe Rabbeinu's anger caused him to forget the Kal Vachomer of Aninus L'Dereis. That's exactly what happened. So that means, according to Rabbi Nechemya, we have a beautiful understanding of the discussion between Moshe and between Aaron. We burned it because there was no one to eat it. Now, later on, of course, we're going to discuss the whole issue of why Pinchas couldn't eat it, as Rabbi Barnea brought up. Was Pinchas a Kohen? Was he not a Kohen? But right now, we're only concentrating on how to read the Pasuk. Later on, we're going to get back to the contradictions and try to understand how we... The arguments, which how come the 3 points that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda raised against Rabbi Nechemya, we'll discuss all 3 points. The third point was, why didn't Pinchas eat it? Right now, we're just looking into the Pasuk. So this is how Rabbi Nechemya beautifully understands the discussion between Moshe and Aaron. Now, how about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? How exactly did they understand the discussions? We still don't understand why exactly there was a problem, according to them, with the Sayer Shel Rosh Chodesh. So, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon, Hechem et Arzilu, they understand it like this. Madua lo achaltem et achatat b'mkom HaKodesh. So they say, okay, maybe, same thing that we started off with Rabbi Nechemya, maybe, Shemanich maz dama lifnai v'lifnim, it should say lifnim, maybe it went in and you got mixed up and you brought it into the Heichal. In which case, Aaron said to Moshe, of course not. Hein lova edama. It was not brought inside. Okay, so maybe it was Yotze. No, hein bakodesh haita. So maybe it was brought by your children who were Einanim. Says Moshe, hein ikrivua. My children didn't makriv it. They would have passed it by Ninos because an Einan is Mechala. But they didn't do the Avaina. You told me to do it and I did it. And I'm a Kohen Gadol, and I don't pass upon Nina. So Moshe said to him, well, maybe you guys were so brokenhearted about what happened that you weren't concentrating, and it became Pasul, became Tomei, because you weren't thinking about it, and maybe you passed it by Hesach Hadas, and therefore it became Tomei. Something actually touched it. So Dilma Agav Mirareichu, because you were so embittered in your heart about the loss of your children and their brothers, maybe Pashatu Bavi Itmai, maybe you weren't as careful as you should have been, and it became Tomei. Amarlo says Aaron to Moshe, Moshe, Kach Ani Ve'Enecha, this is the way you think about me, I'm a piece of garbage. Sh'ani Mevazeh Kodshei Shamayim, you honestly think that just because I lose my children, I'm not going to be concentrating on Kodshei Shamayim? What do you think of me? I would be Mavaze Kodshim. I tell you, Vatikrena Oti Ka'ele, even if all my children would have died, not only the 2 children, that and more. Ka'ele means Afilu Ele V'Ka'ele. Ein ani Mavaze Kodshei Shamayim. Now, one bit would it affect my concentration on Kodshei Shamayim. I'm shocked that you should even think of such a thing. So then, Amarlo, so Moshe said, well, then I don't understand what happened. If, Hein lohu v'adama, that's what you said, and Bekodesh Haita, That's what she said. And it was brought by you. So then, then why the heck didn't you eat it? I told you, be'aninot yuchlua, I told you to eat baninots, didn't I? Amar lo. So Aaron said to Moshe, wait a minute. You said it should be eaten by baninots, but did you think that that meant I'm supposed to eat it during the daytime? When the aninus is more chomer? Maybe shemalo shamata o balayla? Maybe the issue that you were told is that I should eat it. But I mean, I should eat it in the night, not that I should eat it during the day. Because during the day, an einen is always usher to eat. Kal v'chomer mi ma'aser akal. Uma ma'aser akal amra Torah lo achalti va'oni mimenu. So kodesh achomer lo kosher kein. So there's a difference between aninus yom and aninus laila. So this is the way Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon learned the conversation. And that's the meaning of hein hayom. Was I supposed to eat it during the day? So according to Rabbi Nehemiah, hein hayom is talking about the day that is the difference between things that are brought machmas hayom, as we'll see. And the other pshat is daytime or nighttime difference. So this means that the conversation that we've been having all through the past dapim about aninus laila was indeed the issue. If the einen was usher to eat during the day, it would explain why it was put off until the night. If it was put off until the night, then you can't taina on me if something, I had no way. Normally, if I would have had something to eat, we would have eaten it on the spot and we would have made sure that nothing would possibly. But over here, I wasn't allowed to eat it. So we had to set it aside and continue to do the avodas. And then that means while we were doing other aveda, something happened to it and it was metameit. Miyad, Vayishmar Moshe, you're right, Vayitav Beinav, I forgot that Aninus Beyom is Osir Mediraisa, Bechlal, Lobosh Moshe, Lomar Lo Shamati, Ela Shamati Veshachachti. So according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the Isra of Aninus is only true Beyom and not Balayla. But if that's true, why didn't they wait and eat it at night? Why did it, was it burned? True, but since they weren't able to burn to eat it right away, so Tuma Bones about to find something happened to it. The whole discussion is, why didn't you eat it immediately to make sure nothing would happen to it? Over here, Aaron said, well, what was I supposed to do? I wasn't allowed to eat it by Aninus. I had to wait until tonight. So Gufa, turns out the discussion was built around Aninus Laila. So now, according to the Rabbanan, meaning according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, I understand why it says Hayom. If I would eat it during the daytime, right? V'chalti chatat Hayom, hayitav b'nei Hashem. Could I have eaten it during the daytime? So, yeah, oh, that makes sense. But according to Rabbi Nehemiah, what does it have to do with Hayom? Hayom is not the point. No, according to Rabbi Nehemiah, Hayom is beautiful. Hayom means Chovas Hayom. If you're telling me I was supposed to eat the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh, which is a Chova of Rosh Chodesh, not a Chova of the Miluim. That's the point. So, Hena Hayom, should I eat the Chatas of the Yom is what he means, which is the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. I can only eat the Seirim that were Meyuchad for being brought on a one-time basis, not a Chiyav of every day of Rosh Chodesh. So that works out beautifully according to Rabbi Nehemiah too. Now, according to Rabbi Nehemiah, that's why it says, Hein Hayom. But according to, okay, now I understand. Should we have brought, eaten, according to you, the Seirah Shel Rosh Chodesh, which is a Chiyav of the Yom, and we understood, Hein Hayom Ikrivuhu, did my children bring this carbon that was for the Yom? I only talked about the things that are for the day, right? So, okay. That explains why today is different. But according to Rabbanan, what's the din of Hein Hayom? Why did he say Hein Hayom? That there's no point in mentioning specifically the Hein Hayom, because when they say they were the ones, that were hikrivu, the hakrova is not the issue. It wasn't about the hakrova, it was about the achila. But the pasuk says, ein hayom hikrivu. So why is that brought up the chalal? Hokikoma. What he was saying was two separate issues. Like we said before, Moshe said maybe they were nifsal because they were brought by Einani. So it's two separate things. Hein hikrivu, ani hikravti. So there are two separate issues over here. The word hein is not this. The word hein is them, meaning my children. Did they hikrivu? Kohanim hediotos? No. Ani hikravti. The only reason we put in the word hein hayom hikrivu was to basically say to Moshe, look, I mean, you know that you told me to bring everything today. Didn't you say that? So why would they have done it today? That's all that it meant. But it wasn't a din in pointing out that it's specifically the hakrova of the yom. Okay, so now let's get back to the three questions that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon were arguing on Rabbi Nechemia. Omar Mar, basically, the Chachomim, the Tanakhama said, number one, all three of these karbanos should have been brought. They should have been burnt. To Rabbi Nechemia, because if Shmuel is right in saying that there's no din of aninus at all, that is mutter, so then they all should have been burnt because there was no one to eat them. I just want to make sure I understand what three karbanos are they referring to? My shloshtan, the Tanya, the eight seir hakatat darosh darash Moshe. What is it referring to when it says Sa'ir Achatat Darosh Darash? So the Sa'ir, if it just would say Sa'ir, that's referring to the Sa'ir Nachshon. The Chatat is referring to the Chatat that was meant to be brought, which is the Chatas of Shmini, which we read before the Pasuk, Hayom Hashem Nirah Alechem, this is what you need to bring. The Darosh is talking about the other Chatas, and that was the story of Shal Rosh Chodesh. Now, you might think, maybe all three were burned. If that's the case, I mean, if you're telling me that the words in the Pusik are a reference, Beremez, to all of the three that were brought on this day, so maybe all of them were actually burned. Stamud Lomar, Vihine Soraf, not Sorfu, Hine Soraf, there was one Chattis that was burned, Echad Nisraf, Velo Shloshtam Nisrafu. So that means that the Dorosh Darash was the discovery of the one that was burned. And why does it say Dorosh Darash? Shtei Drishot Lama. Moshe said to Aaron, I don't understand. It's inconsistent. If you hold that Dorash, that you're not supposed to be burning, you're not supposed to be eating this one because it was Baninus, then why are the other ones not burned? So I won't understand both of them. If they machat a zunis rafa, and only this chatas, and the other ones were not nisrafa. The elu munachot. I want to understand your svara in both directions. How do you explain the consistency of the way you're behaving? Now, it doesn't say which one. It just says v'inei soraf. One of them was burned. Eini yodea esehu. But Moshe Rabbeinu explains which one it is, because he says to them, how did you go ahead and burn this? This was the carbon that was there in order for you to be mechaper on the tumas of Migdash v'kedosha. Which one is that? The only one of these carbonas that does that was the Sarsha Rosh Chodesh, which is what we learn in Masechet Shavuos, right at the beginning, the opening Mishnah, remember? That's what the Sarsha Rosh Chodesh is mechaper on. So Moshe Rabbeinu said beferush in the pasuk. Amazing. Every word perfect. So Moshe Rabbeinu explained, this was the particular carbon that was meant to be the kapara, and this is the one that you go in and burn up? Why didn't you eat it? Okay. So now, let's talk about the taina. So wasn't it a good taina? Shaprika amroi? Why didn't they burn all three? And as we explained, it makes perfectly good sense, because this is Rabbi Nechemia going according to his shita. The Amar Kotche Sha'ala Pasla Bubaninus. The mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them was only a reference to Kotche Sha'a. And therefore, it was, they were tiny. Yes, the two are Kotche Sha'a. But the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh, which was Kadshei Dorais, we had no heter to burn it. So that makes perfectly good sense. I mean, Rabbi Nachman is coming out here smelling like a rose. Every word is mamish, mevusas, beautifully. Okay, so then they had the next question. The second question was, even if you held it on Enos was Usr, why didn't they eat it in the nighttime? So, Omar Mar, the next question you said was, then don't burn it, keep it for the night. Hayalolo chlala erif. Even if it's true that there was a din of aninos, but there's no din of aninos laila, is there? Shapir kamri, like that's a good taina. No, it's not. Because Rabbi Nechemia holds that aninos laila of the Yom HaMisa is diaraisa. And therefore they could not eat it at night without the special heter, of which it's actually, this is where we know that from. Because since he says specifically that the Vatikrena Otika Ela, it must be that it couldn't have been eaten. This is my raya, says Rabbi Nechemia. If the din of Aninus Laila is that it's mutter, why couldn't they eat it at night? Remember, he doesn't hold that some accident happened. He held it was burnt mamish because of Aninus. Bipnei Aninus Sarfua. So if it was mutter to eat at night, why would they have burnt it? Haraya, that Aninus Laila is usher. And the only time that things were mutter was basically here because of the special halacha kichen tzuveti, that you're supposed to eat it by Aninus. So therefore, he holds that it's usher Aninus Laila all the time. It's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that argue. The truth is Rabbi Yehuda agreed that it's usher normally, we saw before, that it's usher normally Belaila Midiraisa. But since it says here that there was a special heter, and that is the words Ein Hayom, like we said, that today I was only allowed to eat it during the nighttime and not during the day. Rabbi Shimon is not exactly the same as Rabbi Yehuda, because we saw the Rabbi Shimon said before that it's only the Rabbanan Aninus Laila. But the bottom line is that it's still true that Rabbi Nechemia makes no sense. Even if the Chatas would have had to have been burned because of Aninus, it doesn't make sense why it wasn't eaten during the night, because here they were given a heter to eat at night. Therefore, we come to a different machlokas that's between Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Nechemia holds Aninus Laila is the Araisa, and there was no waiver of the din of Aninus Laila in the case of Kadshei Dorot. Okay, and what do we do about the third point, in which Rabbi Nechemia is said there is nobody to eat it, and therefore it needed to be burnt? What about Pinchas? Pinchas could have eaten it. Davarach ra'alo Pinchas haya imahem. That's a good point, isn't it? Shapir ka'amrile. How does he explain that? Very simply, Rabbi Nechemia holds like Rabbi Elazar, who says Rabbi Loi, maybe it should be the Omer Rabbi Loi, Omer Rabbi Chanina. Pinchas was not a kohen. Lo nitkein Pinchas acha haragol is Zimri. He wasn't. It was only Aaron Uvonov. It did not include the grandchildren, and Pinchas was a grandchild. So where would he get the kohuna from? He became a kohen after he killed Zimri. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the kuhuna at that point. Dichtiv vayta lo zaroach harav brit kuhunat olam. So obviously before that he wasn't a kohen, and now he's being given the kuhuna. Ravashi says no, even then he wasn't a kohen. You know when he became a kohen? He became a kohen after the knisa to Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yoshua. So what happened? Bnei Gad uvnei Reuven went and built a Mizbeach in their Eiver HaYarden. And all of Klal Yisrael were outraged because they thought that Bnei Gad uvnei Reuven were planning on building their own Beis HaMikdash, and they were going to be bringing Karbonas outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and they decided they're going to wage a civil war to destroy Bnei Gad uvnei Reuven. But they send Pinchas to make sure, remember, Pinchas was the Meshuach Milchama. So they send Pinchas to negotiate and to find out what's going on. Pinchas discovers in his discussion with Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven that the Mizbeach that was built was not a Mizbeach built for purposes of Akrova. It was a Mizbeach built for purposes of national identity. And that Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven were afraid that the rest of Klal Yisrael would say, you guys are not part of us. You don't live in Eretz Yisrael. And we don't want to have anything to do with you. If you would have been part of Bnei Yisrael, you would be living right here in the Eretz that is given to Avraham Avinu. So in order to avoid such a thing, we built this Mizbeach so that it should be known from the beginning that we are part of those who are going to be bringing Korbanos in the Mizbeach in Yerushalayim. Fine. So then Pinchas was able to avert this war, and he created Shalom Bein HaShvatim. So Rav Ashi says it was at that point, Ad Shesam Shalom Bein HaShvatim, and I'll bring you a raya. Every single time that we mention Pinchas, up until that time in Yehoshua, what's Pinchas' name? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. And all of a sudden here, his name is Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen. Whoa, wait a minute. What happened to the whole Pinchas ben Elazar? That's the point. Up until now, Pinchas wasn't the Kohen. It was Elazar that was the Kohen. But now he's called Pinchas HaKohen. Therefore, I say it was only at this point that he became a Kohen. So Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen Unisiyeh Edav Rashi Afei Yisrael and Vayitav, and they liked this. And they were Mekabel it. And because of that, he became a Kohen. Says the Gemara, well, how does Rav Ashi explain and understand it? Says, Vaitel Ol Zaroach Harav Brit Kunat Olam. That was Tachas Asher Kinei Lelokav. That was because he killed Zimri. This was like 14 years before. What are you telling me, that it only became a Kohen later? No, he'll understand it. That Kiktiv Ahu Bebracha Udichtiv. That was a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Pinchas. You should know that you are going to be a Kohen. But the actual Mesira of that bracha was only at that point. And by the way, it was a bracha that was meant to be not merely that he was a Kohen, but it was that he was going to be the only basis of the Kuhuna Gedela, because all the Gemara says that all of the Kayanim afterwards, the Kuhuna Gedela, it lists by name in the Braita, all of the Kayanim that were Meshamesh, they were all grandchildren of Pinchas. So it was Mamesh, the ultimate Brit Kunat Olam. And how does Rebbe Lezer say that he became a Pinchas, became a Kohen immediately after killing Zimri, despite the fact that Klal Yisrael was not too positively inclined towards Pinchas, and it was only afterwards that they were willing to be Mekabel him. So, but he says that he was a Kohen, so how come he's only called a Kohen later at the time of Yehoshua? Aksiva Yishma Pinchas HaKohen. That's for this purpose. Since we're talking about Pinchas being the mocker of the Kohen Gedela, he needed to be miyuchas as the Kohen in order that all the children of Pinchas, specifically, not Pinchas, children of Elazar, and not children of Aaron, but only specifically children of Pinchas HaKohen, would be the Kohanim Gedela. Incredible. There's different Gersaot, where there's 300 Kohanim second Beis HaMikdash, whether it should read 18. Okay, that's like a lot of discussion. Your Tosfos talks about there's a lot of different shitas. There's different Girsaot as well. Omar Rav. Now, once we're talking about who is a Kohen, I got to point out to you that there's another special Kohen. And that special Kohen was named Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. He had the same dinim. And he was Cholek B'Kodesh Shamayim. Because it says Beferish me el hamiluim leMoshe haya lemana. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a mana is not stam to eat. A mana is chalukah. Now this takes us all the way back to the beginning of our discussion here in the Perek about the meaning of chalukah versus just achila if you're a mizuman by another kohen. Here it says Moshe Rabbeinu was given the mana of the actual chelek that belongs to the Kohen. So he must have been a Kohen. Mesve, So then how do you explain the fact that when Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon were arguing with Rabbi Nechemiah, they said, well, wasn't Pinchas with them? Why did they say Pinchas? They could have said, wasn't Moshe with them? Why did they concentrate on Pinchas? Well, I mean, they're going to concentrate on Pinchas because Moshe, well, you can't expect Moshe to be sitting down here and taking care of the Miluim. Moshe was Torah Bishchina. He was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time up on Har Sinai. The Omar Mar, Moshe Bashkama Allah, Bashkama Yarad, and he was not available to eat. So that I understand why they concentrated on Pinchas. Okay, I'm going to stop here because it's getting very late already. I don't want to keep you too long, but we'll continue on the question tomorrow about Moshe Rabbeinu's status of a Kohen, which will bring us to some other wonderful issues. So let's just review what it is that we discovered today. So we discovered, first of all, that this machlokas about whether Aninus Laila, even of the Yom HaMisa, is it Aser Midiraisa or is it Aser Midirabana? So this was a question that comes to the fore right away in the discussion between Moshe and Aaron at the time of the death of Nadav Avihu. Because according to the way that Rabbi Nechemiah understood the issue, it was only a question of the difference between Kodshei Shah and Kodshei Deres. But according to the way that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda understood the issue, it was a question of whether it was a heter to eat only Balayla, or whether, and that was a special heter, or maybe it was a heter, even Ladiris, because Balayla, there's no Aninus. So that already came up then. We also learned that there was a machlokas in how to understand what Moshe and Aaron were arguing about. Were they arguing about the question of the difference between the heter of Aninus of Kodshei Shah and Kodshei Deres? Or were they arguing about the question about whether the heter was only Balayla and not Biyom? And that too is a subdivision between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Whether it's always wouldn't have been Balayla, as Rabbi Shimon holds, that it was only Drabbanan anyway, Ladiris Balayla, or whether in this particular case it wouldn't have been Balayla. But actually, Ladiris, there was an Isser of Aninus Balayla. Okay, it's been a busy day. And we also discussed the wonderful question of the Kohen of Pinchas. And we're going to see tomorrow that the special din of Pinchas of a Kohen who was the Meshuach Muhammad, we're going to bring that up. But not only was that a special din of Pinchas, but it turns out that he's called Pinchas HaKohen at the time of Yehoshua because we needed his yichus in order to be Miyachis Kohenim Gedolim in the future. So if we would have called him only Pinchas ben Elazar, we wouldn't have known that you need to be Miyachis back to Pinchas. We would have thought if Pinchas himself is only Miyachis back to Elazar, so maybe, and back to Aaron, and maybe any descendants of Aaron and Elazar are roy for the Kohen Gedolah. So we have yet a bigger inyan of the Yichus of Brit Kunat Olam to Pinchas than we have even to the original Kohanim.